Meanwhile, on planet Earth, Andy Reid, very impressed with the White House food during the Chiefs' visit. Listen.
I've never had this before. So a French toast, grilled cheese, and ham sandwich that they sprinkled a little bit of powdered sugar on. I mean, it was phenomenal. The guys were, and it was, there was abundance of this. And then they had chicken fingers, exotic chicken fingers to boot. And then maybe the best part was they had, which I hadn't seen before, but little bite-sized squares of the heart of the watermelon.
I mean, this is unbelievable. The description that he has, exotic chicken figure, not canes, means but
great,
exotic.
Means a great deal to him. You can tell, like, food is important to him. Exotic chicken fingers.
Monte Cristo?
Yeah, no,
isn't that what he just described?
He did. Exotic chicken fingers, though, early leader for my fantasy team.
Exotic chicken fingers?
I think that's a great name.
I like that.
I love that. Welcome back to Get Up. We're coming to you live here at the Seaport. It is brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. Listen, we got Dan Graziano here. We got Alan Hahn. I'm Brian Custer in for Greeny. And listen, we got to get to the game of the night, Stanley Cup Final. And I'm talking about those Panthers, the Golden Knights. Of course, Golden Knights up 2-0 on the Panthers. But Tua was in the house early in the first period. Panthers up 1-0. You know, Matthew Tkachuk's been trucking people. But, oh, he got his clock clean right there. I mean.
Got to keep your head up.
Keegan Colasar took him out. But he left. He would come back.
He's a hockey player. He's a hockey player. He's tough. He comes back. But look at the passing here. Jack Eichel, who got the worst part of a Tkachuk hit earlier in the series, feathers it through the Royal Road and into the toy department.
How about Jonathan Marchessault? I mean, there's no one hotter than that guy there. His 13th of the postseason. We get now to the third. Panthers net is empty. And Carter Verhaeghe's shot is stopped. But Tkachuk buries the rebound right there. Right place, right time for him. His 11th of the playoffs. You know what? We're going to overtime. Early in overtime, game winner Doug Plagans with the call.
Bennett up the near side, looks across Verhaeghe, high slot shot. He scores! Carter Verhaeghe, the overtime winner here in game three. The Panthers take it 3-2 the final.
Yeah, Panthers win it 3-2. First ever Stanley Cup final win in franchise history. Verhaeghe's second playoff OT winner this postseason. And the Panthers now trail the series 2-1. You know, Panthers are basically 2 minutes from falling down 3-0. But once again, they scrape through in overtime. They are a perfect 7-0 in OT this postseason. And overall, they've won 10 consecutive overtime games. That is the second longest streak in postseason history. Let's stay in South Florida. After a day off, NBA Finals resume tonight. Game 4 right here on ESPN. The Nuggets, well, they've been the talk since Wednesday. Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray each dropped a 30-point triple-double, became the first teammate in NBA history to do so in the same game. Meanwhile, for Miami, they lived and died by the three in this series. Game 2, they won. They shot 49%. But the two losses, they've combined to shoot just 32%. Jimmy Butler, he's been good, but not quite playoff Jimmy recently. He's increased his scoring in each finals game, but hasn't had that 30-point bust-out pipe performance since game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. But Jimmy Buckets, not worried.
I wouldn't change anything. Not one thing. I continue to be who I am. We will continue to be who we are as a group, as a team. We're going to go out here and we're going to compete together. We're going to win together. And we're going to be who we are. I wouldn't change a thing, though.
You heard Jimmy Butler says he would not change a thing. I guess the question is, though, does something need to change out of Jimmy Butler if the Heat are going to even up the series?
Yeah, he might want to deny playoff Jimmy exists, but he's going to have to conjure playoff Jimmy in this game. They need him. This is where the stars step up, especially at this level. And that's why they're even here, because of him and some of these playoff Jimmy performances that he's had. Now, he's had a 50-point game in these playoffs. You don't necessarily need that. It would be great, but you don't need it. But as we saw Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray do it in Game 3, they showed up for their team and showed out. You need your stars in certain moments, and we've talked about this. Playoff Jimmy, one game. You just need one game out of him in these finals. That one game has to be Game 4. Because if it's not, it's more than likely this series will be pretty much over heading back to Denver.
Hey, Wendy, defensively, what have the Nuggets been doing to Jimmy Butler and the Heat?
Size, size, size. They've just got such an enormous front court, really bigger than the Heat have seen the entire postseason, especially because Giannis was dinged up in that first round. And look, he's a guy who depends on getting to the foul line. He's only gotten to the foul line 11 times in the first three games. You know, he didn't shoot the ball great in the Celtics series, and he was bothered by the size of the Celtics a little bit, but he got to the line. He got to the line 8 times a game in that series. So even when he wasn't on his, you know, his efficiency in shooting, he was getting points. He just hasn't been able to do that. So that would be a big factor. And you could tell, like, he tried to change up some things in game three. He really saw it going into the post, and he was able to get some baskets in there, but he wasn't able to get the efficiency. 28 points, I believe, was on 25 shots. The Heat are averaging 10 fewer points a game in this series than they did against the Celtics, and part of it is that Jimmy and Bam Adebayo have had trouble getting that efficiency.
You know, Monica, I was reading some of the takes there in Miami about this in the columns, and they were saying Jimmy's been a disappointment thus far for the Heat. What is your take on that?
I apologize for the sniffles, y'all. Working through a little situation on this end. Disappointment seems harsh to me, Brian. And I know that the columnists are here locally and they see this team day to day, but disappointment seems harsh. Yes, he attempted to score more in game three. It didn't quite pan out. But I think you can't really separate who Jimmy is and who he's been to this team from their success this postseason. And I get it. Like, that is not a number. That is very pie in the sky, roses, rainbows, like the intangible things. But I think that's very real in terms of what this team has been able to accomplish. They're down one game in the series, right? And the Nuggets are a really, really good team. And so disappointment seems a little bit aggressive to me. But I think Han is right. The simplest answer to the questions that the Heat have is for Jimmy to go off. Now, whether that actually pans out, we'll have to see. I am not willing to say that's the only answer. Now, are you asking a lot of some of the guys that have had G League routes to get to this moment, potentially? Yes. But we've seen this Heat team figure it out through a multitude of different guys stepping up. So I do think tonight is a big game. I'm not ready to count the Heat out, though, for sure.
Can you see the Heat winning this series, Monica?
Tonight is going to decide a lot.
I like that. I like that. What do you think?
Well, that wasn't an answer, though, Monica.
Mind your business.
But I'll take it, though, because we have to record this moment when she said Han is right. That might be the first time Monica's ever said that. So we do have it on record that she one time agreed with me. They have to win tonight. They have to win tonight. Will they win tonight? I don't expect it. I don't, because I think as we look back now, and we always like assess each game and then look back and see where are we, how did we get here? You look at game two and you wonder, was that actually Denver letting go a little bit, letting off the accelerator in the early fourth quarter and allowing Miami to do what they've done this whole playoff, which is if you're going to open the door, they're going to burst right through it. In game three, Denver did not do that. They made sure that they kept pedal to the metal all the way to the end to get that win. So really, if you think about it, this could be 3-0. Denver is the better team talent-wise. In game three, they might have figured out just how hard they have to play. And as I said yesterday, they have Miami to thank for that because Miami makes you play your best to beat them.
You know, Wendy, every time we want to stick a fork, it seems like in the Miami Heat, they respond. And he's right. That last game, Denver basically played them at their own game and out-physicaled the Miami Heat. What do you think is going to happen tonight?
Well, one thing I think you'll see the Heat is show a lot more energy on loose balls. You know, 25 rebounding differential. I mean, Pat Riley, his one of his biggest things in his whole life is the phrase, no rebounds, no rings. It had to make him sick to his stomach to see the Heat get out rebounded like that in game three. They just can't allow that. So I think you definitely see an energy uptick for the loose balls. And look, the Heat have lost their home court edge. They won their first 7 playoff games here in Miami. They've lost their last 3. And part of that, I think, is because they haven't shot the 3 ball well at home. Well, the one thing we see is high variance with the Heat. So, you know, one thing you can't control is whether those shots go in. You take good shots. So I expect them to the percentages to come back and them to have a good 3-point shooting night tonight. And then you try to make up for the talent gap by getting the loose balls. That's their formula. I'm not going to count them out, but obviously it's clear the Nuggets have the better team on paper. But then again, so did the Bucks and definitely the Celtics.
Here's the one thing that scares me, Alan Hahn. You look at what Denver Nuggets did. In the first three rounds of the playoffs, they shot 40% basically from three.
Yeah.
Here in the finals, they're only shooting 33%. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, when Denver shoots 40% or more from three, they're 7-0. They're unbeatable. And they haven't done that yet in the final, and yet they're still winning.
And that's the, I guess if you're Miami, that's the scary thing, because Michael Porter Jr. has yet to show up in the finals on the offensive side. If he does, lights out.
Yeah. Obviously, both of these teams chasing championships. Let's get to a championship game. It was game two of the Women's College World Series. It's Oklahoma. It's Florida State. Oklahoma took game one. This is the bottom of the third inning. We pick it up, and it's Kaylee Harding at the plate. She's got two runners on, and Harding puts this one deep to center. Watch Jada Coleman go get it. At the wall. You talking about athleticism. Alan Hahn, watch this snag.
Web gem. Getting up. How about the vert on that as well? Sign her up for the women's basketball team.
That is it. That is a SportsCenter top 10. To the fifth, Oklahoma down 1-0. It's Sydney Sanders at the plate, and Sydney Sanders is going the opposite way. Solo big fly for her. We're tied up at one. The next batter, it's Grace Lyons. 1-2 count, gone. How about this? Back-to-back, Lyons fired up, and she rounds the bases. And Florida State pitcher Catherine Sandra Cockwell, she needs a hug.
All you can do is smile.
That's it.
They had a 1-0 lead for about a minute. That's
yeah.
It.
It's 2-1 at this point. So now, bottom of the seventh, Florida State down 3-1. Two outs, last chance. Katie Dack, Jordy Ball, got her swinging. Oklahoma wins this thing 3-1, wins their third consecutive national championship. Here is Holly Rowe with head coach Patty Gasso.
Right now, what you feel, Holly, is from us is freedom, because it was absolutely suffocating as we're going along, and the expectations are overwhelming. But they handled it like champions, and that's why we're here right now.
Listen, the more they handled the pressure this season, they just went on this ridiculous 61-1 record. Best record all time in Division I softball. And it wasn't like they were just skating by. They outscored their opponents by 442 runs. Oh, coming up, you know what? Joker's wild. Nikola Jokic forging a place with the all-time greats. Could he be the best center the NBA has ever seen? Plus, let Russ cook. Is Dalvin the missing ingredient for Russell Wilson in Denver? Could he help turn everything around there? We're going to talk about that next. But first, it is a little sneaky Darius time for Graz and for Himbo. Team Research trying to even up, of course, this series at three. Dalvin Cook now leaving Minnesota, who has scored the most scrimmage touchdowns in Vikings history. Could it be Cook? Could it be someone else? We'll see if Graz can nail that when we come back.
Delicious, meet nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back. Here on Get Up, of course, Team Research has Graziano under the lamp. See if he can get this question right. Now, I'm going to tell you, whenever Graz is quiet during the break, that means he's knowing he's confident. So the question, Dalvin Cook, departing Minnesota, who has scored the most scrimmage touchdowns in Viking franchise history?
I feel like it's an obvious answer. Right. That's why I'm worried about my guess, okay. Right? Like, is it sneaky? Yeah. Right? So it's, but I cannot think of who I'm missing. I've got to go with the obvious, the easy answer, Adrian Peterson.
Wow. How about that? I just knew he was going to get this. No.
Who is
no.
it?
No. Chris Carter. All he does is score touchdowns.
All he does.
That's it.
Oh.
Wow.
Carter. We were thinking Randy Moss. No.
Randy Moss is third. Chris,
how close
was Adrian Peterson was second. Adrian Peterson was second with 102.
That's a good
Chris
one.
Carter.
You got it. Sometimes you just got to.
Wow. You know, sneaky Darius.
Good question.
Look at it. We're all tied up. We're even. That is fantastic.
That hurts. It does.
It is.
Next week.
All right, listen. Graz is with us. So we got a new segment here called Graz Knows.
Look, at least I'm not on a horse or whatever.
I know. Like, this is unbelievable.
That's just a regular old hedgehog. Old. It's not.
Let's start, though. Let's start with Bryce Young in Carolina. Let's get to the notes.
Yeah, Bryce Young elevated to the number one quarterback spot in practice, taking the first team reps. It had been Andy Dalton while they just got Bryce Young's feet wet. This is all part of Carolina's plan to have Young ready to go as the starter when the regular season opens. And obviously, it is encouraging to them that he is hitting all these steps as they go along. Bryce Young has been as advertised so far in Carolina. The Denver Broncos made a signing yesterday, adding Frank Clark, two-time Super Bowl winning edge rusher, formerly of the Chiefs. He was released by the Chiefs earlier this offseason in a cost-cutting move. Joins a Broncos team that has some health questions in their pass rush. You know, Randy Gregory's been a guy that's been in and out of the lineup. So adding Frank Clark, another body there to help in the pass rush in an AFC West where that's real important. And then you mentioned Dalvin Cook when we were doing the trivia. The Vikings have told him he'll be released if they can't trade him by 4 o'clock Eastern time today. So that means Cook will be on the market as a free agent, able to sign with any team. Doesn't turn 28 until later this summer. I believe he will have significant interest around the league. We'll see who he ends up with.
Well, you know, Adam Schefter had tweeted out that the Dolphins and, of course, Denver, two teams that have certainly got their eyes on him. Now, Russell Wilson in Denver looking to bounce back this season. Yesterday, Broncos lineman Garrett Bowles believes Russ ready to prove all the doubters wrong.
He's the same guy every single day. He works his butt off. And, you know, I'm ready for that stuff to go away. And when it goes, you know, everyone's going to eat crow.
Ooh, everyone eating crow.
I got to push back.
Ooh.
No one's making this up. Russell Wilson was 27th in QBR last year. He had 16 touchdown passes and 11 interceptions. If he's better this year, great. He's supposed to be. But I don't think anybody's eating crow because nobody's imagining how bad he was last year.
He has slimmed down this offseason. He kind of slimmed down off of social media. RC, with adding Dalvin Cook, help Russell Wilson make those critics eat crow.
First off, ain't nobody eating no crow. One, because I was actually correct going into last year, but I was more correct than I ever thought I'd be because Russell Wilson is not that bad. Russell Wilson isn't the quarterback that we saw last year. He is going to improve, and having a running back like Dalvin Cook would absolutely help with that. Think about the fact that Javonte Williams was hurt early on last year, and that hampered the Denver Broncos running game. Sean Payton is a guy that wants to play on time. We've never seen Russell Russell Wilson do that in his entire career. Sean Payton is someone that wants you to get the football out of your hand quickly. We've never seen Russell Wilson do that in his entire career. So having the run game is going to be the start to that. They're going to have to find a way to be married in between who Russell Wilson has always been and who we saw Drew Brees be for all those years in New Orleans. Drew Brees was sacked 21 times a year on average in a 20-year career. Russell Wilson in 15 games last year was sacked 55 times. That has to change. You change that with the running game. You change that by understanding how to get the football out of your hands. This is not just about Dalvin Cook or whatever running back it could be making people eat crow. By the way, that's a stupid saying. Why would anybody ever eat a crow? That's dumb. They're scavengers. Nobody wants that. The point is this. Russell Wilson played bad last year. Russell Wilson should play better this year. I don't care if he's skinny, if he's slim, if he's plump, if he's fat, he can't be as bad as he was, and Sean Payton will not allow it.
I love it. You're talking about the Dalvin Cook and the running back, how it will help him. Look at what RG3 tweeted out here, and he talked about the running back position. He said, quote, running backs are getting hosed in the NFL. Dalvin Cook's 27, coming off four straight 1,000-yard seasons with 43 rushing touchdowns. He's clearly one of the best players in the NFL and has more than earned the money left on his contract. Yet, the Vikings plan to release him. Ridiculous. So, Graza, are running backs being too undervalued, you think, in this NFL?
This is the way it – look, football has benefited from this sort of the analytics revolution because so much of the football analytics are geared around scoring points, and it's actually made the game more exciting. However, there are side effects to it, and one of them is the devaluation of the running back position. There are all kinds of numbers that show that these guys drop off after age 28, that they break down, that they don't sustain production that long, and that their production is replaceable. The Chiefs just won the Super Bowl with a seventh-round rookie leading their backfield. It is unfortunate for Dalvin Cook that this happened, and it's unfortunate for Ezekiel Elliott and Leonard Fournette and all those guys that are still out there looking for work that people undervalue the running back. But it is a fact of the modern NFL. It's just teams are changing the way they look at this position and how valuable they think these guys are.
RC?
I mean, I think you just have to be special. Look at what Christian McCaffrey was able to do in San Francisco once he made the change and was healthy from the Carolina Panthers. But Graziano mentioned something that's extremely important. Last year, the Super Bowl, Miles Sanders, Isaiah Pacheco, not two dudes we think are in the top two or three running backs. The year before that, running back by committee for the Los Angeles Rams and Joe Mixon in Cincinnati. The year before that, a refurbished Leonard Fournette from Jacksonville and Clyde Edwards Helaire, who was on his rookie contract. That's what we're seeing at the running back position, getting teams to the Super Bowl, allowing teams to be great, allowing teams to be elite. And that's just the fact of it. It's not a devaluing of the running back position. It's a valuing probably right around the place they should be valued. And Dalvin Cook has absolutely earned the money that was left on his contract. But if you're the Minnesota Vikings and you're going to play 11 personnel, which is one back, one tight end with TJ Hockenson, you're going to throw the ball to Justin Jefferson pretty much 37% of the plays, and then you're going to have KJ Osborne and Jordan Addison. Why are we paying Dalvin Cook that money? It's not about what they don't earn, or it's not about what they don't deserve. It's about the way that you're going to move forward playing football and how you can find someone at that position for a lesser price to give you similar production.
But by the way, RC, we're talking about eating crow. If you had to eat crow, what do you think crow tastes like?
Like a dead bird, and not the good kind, like chicken. You ain't never passed Popeyes in New Orleans, and they said, hey, you want to come try this new crow sandwich? Why? Because nobody wants to eat a crow. Crow eats dead things. They're scavengers. Nobody wants that.
I love this guy. Absolutely. That's why he's an Emmy Award winner.
That is
right
one.
There. That's Emmy Award winning analysis. I love it. All right, coming up, the superpower that makes Nikola Jokic unstoppable. Is he destined to be the best center that we have ever seen? Plus, fly, Eagles, fly. The news that Jalen Hurts should have everyone in the NFC taking notice. Wait till you hear what his head coach had to say about him. That's next on Get Up.
of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, let's look ahead. Game 4, NBA Finals tonight. Little game of over-under. Alan Hahn, will Jimmy Butler have over-under 26.5 points tonight?
Oh, he has over. I'm taking over. He better have over. Playoff Jimmy has to show up in Game 4. You really going to lose two games on your home floor in the NBA Finals? Is this your house or not? Over.
Monica, will Jamal Murray have over-under 33.5 points plus assists combined?
Ooh, sorry about my sniffles there. I'm going to piggyback off of what my colleague Alan Hahn said a bit, and I think part of Jimmy being activated is the defense that he's going to play with Jamal Murray. I'm going to go under on this one. I don't think this is going to be as stellar an offensive performance as we saw in Game 3.
Okay, Alan Hahn, will Jokic have over-under 54.5 points plus rebounds plus assists combined?
This make me do math again. Shout out to St. Anthony's High School for getting me ready for this. Over, and here's why. You know what he's averaging in the finals? 56 total. Wow. That's what he's averaging. So he's averaging the over. I'm taking the over.
And also averaging 30, 10, and almost 10 as well, assists as well. And you remember last hour, Jay Will was here, and he had that take where he talked about that he believes he will go down as one of the best ever. You know, talking about centers as well. Your thoughts on just his assertion about Jokic?
Well, again, the key word is, of course, he can or he could become that. It's not something that I think we can say he is right now because of a lot of accomplishments that are still ahead of him. One of them is winning this championship. Let's start there first, because to be somebody that is an all-time great, part of history, you've got to make history. And he can do that with one ring here. But guys, you're comparing them to all-timers. When you're talking about Kareem at the very top of the list, Bill Russell, Wilt, Shaq, we can go down the list. Multiple champions. So to be an all-time great, winning is a huge part of it. It starts with winning this first championship, and then we can continue that conversation.
Monica, you heard Jay Will's assertion. Is he McNuts?
I don't think he's McNuts, and I understand how he's gotten there. I actually think, as we've talked about that this morning, that there will then become this conversation about how you define center and big, right? Like, there's going to be so much nuance in terms of how he plays the game versus some of the legends that Hahn just mentioned. So I certainly understand why this is forecasted. I mean, the numbers that he puts up are so gaudy. They are so impactful. Such a high percentage of what his team does literally runs through him. And the entire league has struggled with how to figure out to slow him down. So I understand why we're having this conversation for sure.
Alan, it's interesting because I know you've got a take when you talk about all-time greats, and you feel like these all-time greats usually have like a superpower to them.
Yeah, it's something like I was thinking about when we're trying to discuss Nikola Jokic and what he is and telling the world, like as you're watching him on the stage, what he's about. When you think about all-time greats, not just centers, but all-time greats, you're talking about whether it's Magic Johnson and his dazzling display of basketball ability we called Showtime, and Larry Bird and his stoicism as he's just killing you with shot after shot, Michael Jordan levitating, Shaq and the Diesel, and just an unstoppable physical force that he was. Even Tim Duncan, another guy with the stoicism, but the fundamentals and how easy he made the game look. To LeBron James and his power. Steph Curry literally changing the game with his range and shot-making ability. All of these guys have something that is breathtaking about them. And I ask this question to everybody, is what is it about Nikola Jokic that makes him breathtaking? My answer would be his basketball IQ. The Kasparov chess master, the grandmaster of basketball, how easy he makes the game look. But I wonder what other people think about it.
Wendy, what do you think?
I think his passing is the combination of what he can do with his passing is what really sets him apart. I think, you know, one of the things about Jokic is you look at him and you say, my gosh, he should be able to play till he's 40 because his game isn't predicated on athleticism. And so he won't be affected. He won't be slowed down because he already operates at his own speed. But one of the things that's going to have to happen is he's going to have to rack up a lot of championships. He doesn't have one yet. So let's not jump to conclusions. The other thing I want to say, and I know this is no fun to talk about collective bargaining, but the new rules that just came into effect aim at the heart to destroy the idea of dynasties. They don't want teams coming back to the finals year over year over year. That is going to be a challenge for the Nuggets or whoever wins going forward. They are specifically legislating out the ability to keep together teams that have a bunch of stars on it. And Jokic, as great as he is, needs the support that this team has built around him.
That's a good point. All right, Wendy, let's move on to the NFL, where we focus now on some former Alabama quarterbacks. And, of course, we call this Roll Tide or Big Slide. So, will Tua Roll Tide or have a big slide? What do you think, Roz?
Tua, what? I think he'll roll. I think he's good. I think they've put a great team around him, and I think he's positioned to have a big year. I just think the big question with Tua is obviously his health. Can he stay healthy? That was the problem last year when he was in the lineup. The offense was rolling.
All right. How about Mac Jones? Will Mac Jones Roll Tide or have a big slide this season?
I'm going to go with roll. I think the addition of Bill O'Brien as offensive coordinator is a big one for Mac Jones. Last year it was very sort of disorganized on offense around there. I think, you know, it's not necessarily the fault of Matt Patricia, who was put in a tough situation, but it didn't go well for Mac Jones. And I think having Bill O'Brien in there will be a reason he plays better and maybe a lot closer to his rookie season.
How about Jalen Hurts? Roll Tide or have a big slide?
Let's make it a sweep. I think roll. I think there's plenty of reason to love Jalen Hurts. This is the guy who said famously at a press conference, the rent's due every day. I don't believe he's going to be someone who gets satisfied by what he did last year, by the contract he just signed. I think he's driven to be great. I think he's driven to continue to improve and to do the work necessary to be those things. And I just think he's someone of whom big things should always be expected.
You know, speaking of Jalen Hurts, yesterday his head coach Nick Sirianni had high effusive praise for his quarterback.
Jalen may be the most coachable person I've ever been around in my life. And he's just always looking to get better. And so I do. I see another jump in everything that he's done with the accuracy, with the decision making. I don't know what his ceiling is because he just keeps getting better, and he's gonna continue to do that.
As good as he was, that's scary for the NFC. What do you think this jump looks like for Jalen Hurts?
I'm kind of with Nick Sirianni here. Like, I'm excited to see what he does next. Because when you talk about a jump for Jalen Hurts, he was in the MVP race.
Yeah.
So a jump is, hey, win MVP.
Right.
Right. He was in the Super Bowl, so the jump is win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right. So these are fine line jumps, right? They're very sort of precise jumps at a very high level. He's capable of doing it. I think, look, he got the contract, so obviously when people get paid, you want to say, to live up to the contract. As you pay the quarterback, it's harder to pay other guys, so more is expected of the quarterback. But in the case of Jalen Hurts, I just don't think there are questions about this. I think he's shown he has inside of him what it takes to deliver on the promise of last year and on the promise of that contract, and I expect to see him do it.
Yeah, listen, everybody had criticisms on whether or not he could be accurate, he could be a pocket passer. He answered all of those last season. Man, this year, sky should be the limit for Jalen Hurts. Let's move on to baseball. You want to talk about the comeback of the night. How about the Mets and the Braves in Atlanta? Braves looking for the sweep. We picked this up, top of the second, Mets down 3-1. Bases juiced for Brandon Nimmo. Gone. Not juiced anymore. That's a grand slam for Nimmo. The Mets take a 5-3 lead on Nimmo's first career grand slam. Mets up 9-6, one out, one on, Francisco Alvarez. And he's left the building. Second home run of the game for him. Mets are cruising. They're up 10-6.
What could go wrong?
Exactly. So let's go to the eighth, Groz. Bottom of the eighth, 10-7. Former Met Travis d'Arnaud on with a man on, and he crushes that one. Two-run shot. It's now 10-9, Grodd.
Yeah, I sure hope your closer wasn't injured in the World Baseball Classic.
To the ninth, Orlando Arcia at the plate. And he turns on this one. Would you believe it? We're tied up at 10 like that.
Sadly, I would believe it.
So now we go to extra innings to the 10th. 10-10. Two on, two out. Ozzie Albies gone. This game is over. And Albies knew it right from jump. 14th home run for Albies. The Braves sweep the Mets. They come all the way back down from three runs. They win this one 13-10. Coming up, the winds of change in the NBA. Could major trades be on the way? We got the very latest from Brian Windhorst. That is next. Welcome back to Get Up. Let's do a little winds of change with our Brian Windhorst. Wendy, what changes could we see a few franchises near the future? Let's start with the Blazers.
Yeah, let's look at some of these top 10 draft pick teams that have some big choices. The Trail Blazers are one of the most focused on teams in the league. They have the number 3 pick, and Dame Lillard is on the record saying he's not sure he wants to play with young developing players. Will the Blazers draft at the number 3 pick? Trade the number 3 pick, or consider what the future is with Lillard. That's a huge factor in what's going to go on between now and the start of next season. Also in the top 10, we just saw a whole new front office introduced yesterday with the Washington Wizards. The Wizards have a situation where they have the number 9 or the number 8 pick. Plus, they have free agents in Kyle Kuzma and Kristaps Porzingis. And, of course, you've got Bradley Beal. This is a team that was a losing team last year. I can't see them bringing all these guys back. Beal, though, has a no-trade clause. So any trade involving Beal would be at his discretion. How does the new front office handle that? Do they look to move up in the draft? Definitely keep an eye on the Washington Wizards in the coming days. And, of course, with the number 10th pick, the Dallas Mavericks. They are under some pressure to get help to Luka Doncic. They are definitely interested in dealing that 10th pick. And then you have the Kyrie Irving issue. It's my sense that the Mavericks definitely want to bring Kyrie Irving back. However, I don't think we should rule out the possibility of sign and trade deals where Kyrie could find a spot and then Dallas could try to find a deal that would make sense for them building around Luka, especially if they have something else they can get for the number 10 pick. I would say in general, guys, there is a bubble that is developed here of moves that are about to happen because we have draft picks potentially on the move. We have potential stars where their teams are not sure which direction they're going to take. And we have hungry teams out there looking to upgrade with addition to a new CBA that's changing some of the landscape. I think we are in for a very active transaction period beginning from the end of the NBA Finals through the draft and into free agency.
Give me your thoughts on what you just heard here, Al.
Well, Bradley Beal's name has been really, he's been in rumors for sort of several
years. But
he's
had that no trade.
He's never wanted to leave Washington. His number, by the way, I mean, he's in this $250 million contract that he signed, the extension. I mean, he's a guy that's going to make 46 next year and then 50, 53, and then an opt-out at 57. That's a big number for a team that's not winning, but it's also a big number for a team to take on in this new CBA, but still a great talent who can score still in his prime. If there's a place he wants to go, this would probably be the time to move him. That's a huge name. And the Dallas stuff, watch that too.
Yeah.
Luka gets very unhappy. Dallas has to be very careful with what they do this offseason before he starts to get frustrated with the direction of that franchise.
It's and I love the Mavericks. It's one of those things you take that pick and you try to get somebody and re-sign Kyrie and bring someone else in there, or do you use Kyrie as a piece to
sign
try
and
to
trade? DeAndre Ayton be a great fit in Dallas. And also remember, they tanked to keep that pick.
Yes.
So that pick has great value. They wanted it so bad, they said no thank you to the play-in.
No, absolutely. Monica, what do you think?
Well, the Wizards are my home team, and I know that it's a little less than ideal in terms of chemistry and such. Although Brad has been really loyal to that organization, I feel like this finally might happen as far as that one is concerned. But the only other thing I'll add to this, as we all will be watching, yesterday I spent a ton of time with Scoot Henderson and his family for features that we're doing around the draft. He is obviously projected in that top 3 conversation. Whoever might be willing to trade, that young man is outstanding and comes from great stock.
Wendy, I got to get more perspective on you because obviously you're there at the finals. You're there in Miami. You know, when I talk with Dame Lillard, and I told him about it, because look, there's all these stories about possibly being traded to Miami. He was like, I wouldn't mind that. You know, Bam is my guy. Now, he also talked about Brooklyn because he likes Mikal Bridges.
You started a firestorm, Custer.
I certainly did. But it just seems like there's a lot of guys who now all of a sudden are interested in the Miami Heat.
Yeah, this is an awkward little moment in time right now because the Miami Heat are trying to win a championship and absolutely are in this fight trying to win game four tonight. But I wouldn't be being honest with you if I didn't tell you that when you talk to league executives and agents out there, the Heat are in position to make an aggressive move towards a trade this summer. They have potentially multiple first-round picks to trade. And one of the things that's happened in this playoff run is that they've been very successful with Tyler Hero on the bench. Tyler Hero's new contract kicks in. It's $30 million average. He would be at the center of a possible trade chip. So I don't know what to say. I feel a little bit odd talking about the Heat potentially in transactions as I'm here in Miami covering the finals, but I wouldn't be honest if I wasn't saying that the Heat are expected to be in the eye of the transaction window storm as soon as they finish trying to win this championship.
You know, the interesting thing, Alan, is because before you thought with the Miami Heat, well, probably the only guy they could trade, if you would, be somebody like Tyler Hero. But now, all of a sudden, Duncan Robinson has come to play here in the postseason, so that's another added chip that you could use if you're trying to make a move.
It's really the beauty of this run, right? Even without winning a championship, they still could come out winners at the end of this because this run has opened our eyes to players like Gabe Vincent, Caleb Martin, and all the different players. And obviously, Duncan Robinson, we thought was banished to the bench to never play again. What a bad contract that is, we thought. Now, all of a sudden, no, wait a minute. They've made him into a very useful player who can still contribute to winning. So now they do have some assets. And once again, Pat Riley put the rings on the table. The Godfather, let them all come to him. Make him an offer they can't refuse.
By the way, game four is tonight, ABC. And right now, Caesars Sportsbook has Denver as a 3.5-point favorite to take a 3-1 series lead. And Denver also a minus 800 to hoist the Larry O'Brien Trophy. So, all right, Alan, who wins game four tonight and why?
Denver will win game four tonight because game three showed us they got to a championship level that they weren't at in games one and two, and you can thank the Heat for that. But they still have to bring it. They still have to be ready for Miami's best to get a second road win in the NBA Finals. But it just feels like they just are going to be too much. And if Michael Porter Jr. shows up offensively in this series, in this game, forget it. Lights out.
Listen, I never want to count against the Heat. But every time I pick the Heat, they've lost. So that's why I'm picking Denver, because I believe the Miami Heat are going to win, but I think this is going to be a really physical game.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be, you know, I think it's Kendrick Perkins calls them the goons of Wake County. Mm-hmm. This is where Miami is going to say, okay, you came into our building and smacked us. Okay, now we're going to foul you and foul you again. It's going to be really physical. What do you think? Because you got the Heat, Monica.
I think the Heat are going to respond. The nature of this series so far is counter moves, right? And so we saw, a very aggressive Jamal Murray. You saw the ball moving around, both Murray and Jokic having games of their lives in terms of both having triple-doubles, 30-point triple-doubles, might I add. The Miami Heat have entirely too much pride not to respond on their home floor. I think they find a way tonight, and this thing is even going back to Denver.
Wendy, give me a final word, Wendy.
You know, I don't make predictions. I'll just say it's very strange that the Heat have lost 5 out of 7 games, and they've lost 3 in a row at home. So I don't know if that means that they're petered out or if they're due for a resurgence. I wish I could tell you what to do, but I'm not going to bury him. I'm just not going to do it.
All right. Of course, game four right here on ESPN. Of course, UFC 289 comes your way tomorrow from Rogers Arena, Vancouver. Main event, Amanda Nunes defending her bantamweight belt against the 5th-ranked Irina Aldana. Of course, the main card begins 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific pay-per-view. Early prelim. Prelims at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus. And to order the main card in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. First Take coming up next. Are the Heat going to come back and win the title? Stephen A., Kendrick Perkins, Wendy, they all debate that and much more coming up next. All right, here's our Sunday night baseball matchup series finale. Red Sox, Yankees at the stadium, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, ESPN, ESPN Deportes,
and ESPN Radio. Our coverage is going to begin at 6 Eastern. That is 3 Pacific with baseball tonight and Sunday night countdown. Talked about this earlier in the show. Andy Reid, boy, he is loving that White House spread when the Chiefs visited the White House this week.
I've never had this before. So a French toast, grilled cheese, and ham sandwich that they sprinkled a little bit of powdered sugar on. I mean, it was phenomenal. The guys were, and it was, there was abundance of this. And then they had chicken fingers, exotic chicken fingers to boot. And then maybe the best part was they had, which I hadn't seen before, but little bite-sized squares of the heart of the watermelon.
I love the attention to detail. Yeah. Exotic chicken. I thought he was talking about canes, but he's talking about real exotic chicken fingers.
Chicken fingers is a joint in Atlanta somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And then he's talking about a Monte Cristo, but like take it up a notch with the French toast. Like, I got to try this now.
I love that. Although, of course, it's been a fun, fantastic, a lot of fun here this week on Get Up. Here is the best of the week. Take a look. Hey, good morning. I'm Brian Custer here for Greeny.
Tonight, we are the best basketball team in the world.
If I'm going down, I'm going down my way.
Look at old Jay Will.
Somebody came and put some extra stuff in my coffee.
Wow. I love this segment. He looks like a game show host.
Ooh. You know how that can happen, Bert.
It's your birthday. We even brought Brandon in here to be a part of this. It is time to cowboy up.
I gotta talk to somebody about that graphic.
And why are you even wearing a dress?
Well, I guess this is what, sun's out, guns out today, huh?
Whoa! Kids are mean. There's not many things that get my stomach churning, but a tub of mayonnaise makes me just want to throw my coffee up.
I'm surprised no one mentioned Aaron Rodgers. We talked about this guy every damn day on this show.
Wise man, Brian. Wise man.
It's time for Camp Checkup with Dan Graziano.
How are we doing this?
Not to be compared to our cowboy garage. Look how young this guy is.
I mean, I show up on time. I do whatever he's asked. I don't understand why I deserve this treatment.
I love it. I love it. Meanwhile, Planet Earth, check out this first pitch. Guardians game last night. Watch the fan here. As he slipped off the mound. But the question, was that intentional, man?
There's a lot going on there, too. When he gets up, that's a sight you don't need to see. But, yeah, we need to, A, cut him off. B, that's a balk.
Come on, man.
That's a balk now. Yeah. That's a balk.
That's a balk. Yeah, these new rules. I love it. It's been a great week here on Get Up. We'll see you on Monday. First Take is next.
Happy birthday, Teddy Bruschi.